Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
On the Steve Cochran Show, Must Five for Christmas.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Oh, this is number one.
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
It's 7:12. Ross is working on this for quite a while before we left to become a new dad and make me a grandfather. Before he left, he made sure that we would be having a chance, and it's an honor to welcome to the program Archbishop Blaise Supich. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Nice to have you on. I hope you're adjusting well to Chicago.
Well, you know, it was easy for me. I grew up in Omaha, so the climate is about the same.
Would you like snow, or are you against snow at this point?
Well, I told kids when I visited their school recently that I have something in common with them. I'm praying for snow days.
And I'm sure you got a roar out of them.
Oh, they did. They cheered.
There's two things. One, I'd like to thank you for your words on Mr. Capuano. Lost his life as a firefighter, and I think you give great comfort to folks when you bring him into your conversation.
Well, you know, it is heartbreaking, as I noted, after visiting yesterday with the family. This man got up like all first responders do, the police, fire, and all the other first responders get up every day to protect people, and for him to die in the midst of serving the public good is heartbreaking, and it really, we all feel that loss.
And we met his dad right around Veterans Day as we were doing a look back at 50 years of Vietnam, and he was a Vietnam vet and been proud of his son, as obviously you would guess. But this just seems like, you know, Dan Capuano seems like one of those guys who didn't sleep. You know, when he wasn't a firefighter, he was coaching the kids or he was doing something in the community. It's a big loss.
Well, they're very much involved in their parish. Father Ed has a funeral. Their pastor today. The kids are in the grade school, the two boys, and the daughter is at Macaulay. You know, they're just they're community people, and they all live in a way that everybody does their part and plays by the same rules.
It's another significant day for the church in that Mother Teresa will be made a saint. Any comments particular to that?
Well, you know, I met many times Mother Teresa when I worked in Washington, D.C. I worked for the Vatican embassy there. And whenever she would come to Washington, since I was the youngest man on the totem pole, I ended up driving her around. So I got to see her quite a bit, and she was always late for things because people wanted photos with her. And one day we were terribly late, and I said, Mother, I think we have to go. Oh, she said, no, we have to finish all these photos. So I got back in the car, and I said, you really like taking photos. Oh, she said, no, I dread it. I said, well, what's this all about then, that you take photos? She said, I made a deal with God. I thought, well, I want to hear this one. She said, the deal with God is every time someone takes a photo of me, God has to let somebody out of purgatory.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, that's it's a great advocate to have, isn't it?
Yeah, how about that for negotiation? That is a great story. Now, aside from the tardiness for all the right reasons, was she talkative in the car? Did she have a particular song she liked to listen to? What was she like as a writer?
No, she was just very pleasant. She was an ordinary person. You know, she told me about some of her work that we did. And she was always kind of anticipating what was the next thing to do. She was very highly organized individual. She was an individual who could think very, very organically and systemically about what she was going to do that day, the people she was going to meet. So she was an individual who had really a steel spine in the sense of wanting to be attentive to people and was very generous with her time.
You know, this is really significant that you would have that kind of personal time with her, but I have to feel like the first time you were told you're going to be driving around Mother Teresa, you had to go, how good a driver am I? You don't want to have a fender bender with Mother Teresa in the car.
Exactly. I said, boy, you better, increase the liability insurance.
Well, that's a fabulous story. It's the Christmas season, obviously, and these are tough times. These are troubled times. If it's not news about ISIS on the other side of the world and the horror of that, we certainly have plenty of issues to deal with here at home. How do we give people some optimism now during Christmas?
Well, I think what's, especially you mentioned ISIS, I think it's very important for people to understand that this is a whole new level of threat here, because what they do is they contact people through the internet and incite them. They don't fund them necessarily, but they do incite them in various parts of the world to do violence randomly. And they're not ideological. They all they want to do is create havoc. And I think that we have to keep in mind in America that if we become divided among ourselves or fearful, they win. So I think that the important thing for us is to really pull together as a nation and realize that, yes, there are these threats out there, but they're not going to win. We're not going to become a divided nation. We're the United States of America, and we should not be afraid.
Well said by you, sir. I want to get Mary in here as the resident card-carrying Catholic on the show. Good morning, Mary. Please say hi to the Archmayor.
Oh, good morning.
Say hi to the Archbishop.
It's an honor.
How are you?
Honor. I'm great this morning.
Good.
How have you noticed, are more young people coming back to the church after the drive that we had, you know, years ago to get people back into the Catholic Church? Have you noticed that?
Well, I think that it would be anecdotal for me to respond to that. I can just tell you that Sunday when I did the opening of the Holy Door, I would say a good fourth of the people were under 30 years old at the cathedral for the 5:15 Mass. A lot of people, young people today, are quite enamored and taken by Pope Francis. They find him to be someone who really speaks their language. There's a renewed enthusiasm for the life of faith and religion that he has, I think, inspired.
Salute that notion, and also second it as a community Christian church member, in Naperville in particular. I think I see more kids, youth, if that's the right word for it, in general, that I think is directly attributable to not just the Pope, but his understanding of the media, his appeal to being such a great story for the media. I just think he's great for God in general. How's that for a generalization?
Well, I think you're onto something, but also I think it testifies to something that sometimes we ignore. There's a deep spiritual life in young people that needs to be tapped into and needs to be channeled and brought to a link with people of faith of earlier generations. I think sometimes we discount that young people have a spiritual life maybe because they're busy in building their careers or they have other preoccupations, but they still have the longings, the human longings that we all do.
Merry Christmas to you. I know how busy you are. I really appreciate your time, and God bless you and the work you're doing.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you. Have a nice Christmas, Steve and Mary, and all of your listeners.